In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Today is a great day for a lot of reasons. Great weather, but also it's the day when our Catholic daughters, both senior and junior, have your corporate mass. Right? It's Catholic Daughter Day. The day where we celebrate the great gifts which God has given us in the Catholic daughters. These women who are here are real pillars in our community and really do so much to be able to help that the faith remains secure, that things that are necessary to happen within our community are always supported. These women give of themselves in such a beautiful way. Why not join them? They're a good group of ladies. But also our young ones right there. Our young ones, like Alexis was right there, was just holding that book of the scriptures that are there. You know, anybody can be a part of the Junior Catholic Daughters if you're between the ages of 6 years old. That's 06, not 60, 06, and 18. Anybody can be a part of them. It's a great group, and they have a great ministry that they're just beginning to be involved in to become, we won't say it yet, until we give it to them and have it fully established. Coming soon, coming soon. A few things to get ready for this month. This month is what month? What's this month called? Oh man, you guys don't know the date? What's this month? October, that's right, thank you. Good, I'm glad we know where we're at. We're in October, and what's October the month of? It's kind of the month of the rosary. It's the month of victory. It's the month of victory that you and I lay hold of when we use Our Lady's rosary. That's what the month is. October 7th is the day of Our Lady of Victory that we obtain, that we have when we hold the rosary, when we unite ourselves to the victory that God gives us when we hold the rosary, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this Tuesday, we're going to do that in a real special way. We're not just going to keep our rosary as we do, as our young confirmation students pray every Sunday before the Mass. Not just to confine the rosary and its power to these four walls that are here, but we're going to take it in the public square. Because we need to have Our Lady's power, not just here in the church, but throughout our lives. And every single difficulty and hardship that we face, we want Our Lady's victory within our lives, which is obtained when we hold her hands, praying the rosary, walking through the mysteries which God gives us in His life, day by day by day. So we're going to do that this Tuesday. That's October 22nd, at 5:30 p.m. What's the feast that we celebrate on October 22nd? Do you know? St. John Paul II's feast day. St. John Paul II, he wrote a beautiful encyclical on the power of the rosary. Go ahead and find it. Search for it in your own time. It will really deepen your ability to pray, to understand, to gain from the rosary that is there. Pope St. John Paul II prayed many, many rosaries every single day because he entrusted his whole life to the Blessed Virgin Mary. His episcopal motto was what? Totus tuus, Maria. All is yours, Mary. He treated Mary as his dear mother. What we want to have is also, we're coming up on another great feast day, November the 1st. What do we do on November the 1st? What's special about the 1st of November? That's right, you know it. Oh, I get hugs for everybody right there. November the 1st is All Saints Day. It's a holy day of obligation, a day where we come to Mass to honor all the other saints that we do not have canonized. That even means some of your grandparents or parents or uncles or aunts who passed on into glory. Name all the unnamed saints. We celebrate them all in that day. We have Mass that day twice. But just in case you can't make it that day, we've got an anticipatory Mass the day before on All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve, at 6 p.m., but you've got to drive to Fort Sumner for it. The Masses we'll have here in our church are at 7 a.m. and also at 5:30 p.m. It's also First Friday, so there you go. If you haven't been making your First Fridays, here's a real easy way to start to get in the habit. 7 a.m., 5:30 p.m. After the 5:30 p.m. Mass, what are we going to do? We're going to do what? It's a day where we vest ourselves in a special way to dress up like our heroes, the saints. The saints. Saying, I'm going to wear the garment of the saint. I'm going to dress like the saint. I'm going to look like the saint. So hopefully, maybe I can be just a little bit more like that saint. Take on the interior attitude of that saint. So that's on the first. After that Mass, we're going to go to the KSC Hall right over there, and we're going to have a great time with food, prizes, all sorts of great things. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Father, because we always do that day. I'm really looking forward to that, because my birthday's on Sunday, on the 3rd of November. So I want to see you on the 1st and on the 3rd to celebrate my birthday. That's all I want for my birthday. No gifts or anything. Just be present. I want you to find Jesus. That's what I want for my birthday. Know and love Jesus in the Eucharist. On the 2nd, the day afterwards, is a Saturday. We have that Feast of All Souls Day where we pray for all those souls who haven't yet made it to the halls of heaven yet. All the holy souls, we pray for them. So make sure to fill out your envelopes to put those names down that we're going to pray for, all the ones who you care for. If you need more, drop in a whole list. Drop it into the basket. We'll pray for everybody who's there. It's the month of holy souls is November. See what our Lord has to say for us in our readings today. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Miss Size gave for us the second reading, right? No, that was Miss Jordan. You gave us a psalm. Miss Jordan gave us the second reading. I'm not going to preach on it, but it's something that we need to know and we need to give ourselves to in a more radical way. The second reading is from Timothy. And it really gives us the fodder, the material for what our prayer should contain. What does it say there? You got to memorize it. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It's so important. What does it tell us? It tells us this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, inspired. All scripture is God-breathed. And what's it useful for? It says it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in the path of righteousness. Why? Why? So that the man of God, so that the woman of God, that's you, may be fully equipped for every good work. As another scripture says, for every good work that God has prepared for you to do in advance. And so why do we need scripture? Because it's God's strength, it's his inspiration, it's his breath for us to find the way to find the way that he wants to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us in that way of righteousness, because God has prepared for each of us to do certain works, certain good works that he hasn't entrusted to anybody else. And we're not going to be able to do them if we don't have the inspiration of God and his holy scriptures active within our lives. We got to dive into it. That's the fodder, the material, the things that we need to be able to turn back to God in prayer. Do you know who Sister Jean-Françoise de Chantal is? Have you heard of her? Saint Jean-Françoise de Chantal. An amazing French saint. She founded the Visitation Order. Sister is Sister of Saint Joseph. These are the Visitation nuns. And so she founded that order, and because of her great life of holiness that she lived out in such a radical way, all of her sisters came to her and they said, Jean-Françoise de Chantal, come, teach us how to pray. We want to pray like you. Do you have some spectacular relationship with Jesus Christ? We want to have that too. We want to pray like you. And she said, no, I don't want to talk about that. And so she'd push them aside time and time again, but they'd come back to her over and over and over again and saying, please just teach us. We're your sisters. We want to be like you. Finally, she relented. She relented and she said, you're not going to be impressed by this. I'll tell you how I pray. What's the content of my prayer? She says, my prayer is this. My prayer is mostly distractions and a few tears. Today's scripture readings are all about prayer. They're all about prayer. They offer us the encouragement for when our prayer seems like it's dry, when our prayer seems like it's empty. That's just like St. Jean-Françoise de Chantal, just like St. Teresa, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. When it seems like our prayers are useless, or when it seems like our distractions and our tears are just hindering our prayers, and all we want to do is be focused on God, we've got all this other stuff that's going on. That first reading that you gave for us there, what was that all about? First reading from Exodus. And what was going on in the book of Exodus? This is what was going on in the book of Exodus. There was a battle where Israel was confronting an enemy that had never been defeated in battle, ever, Amalek. Amalek had never been defeated in battle, and so anytime, no matter how brave the soldier was, wherever it was that they went through the ancient Near East, even the bravest of soldiers would shake in fear in their own boots when they had to face against Amalek because they had never lost and utterly obliterated all of their foes. They did that to all their enemies. But you see, the Israelites, the people of Israel, had one thing in their back pocket that all the other enemies of Amalek had never had before. What was that? The one thing that they had was St. Moses praying to the Lord our God. Nobody else had that. Nobody else had that, and that made all the difference within their battle. What was the result of this prayer of St. Moses? What was it? See, Joshua, holy Joshua, the commander of the armies of Israel, led his forces in a battle against Amalek. And so what did Moses do? Moses climbed up the hill that was there to overlook the battle. And what did he do from that hill? He prayed. He prayed. Listen to how St. Moses describes his prayer. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. What does he say there? This is what he says. He says that as long as Moses kept his hands up in prayer, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired. So they put under him, so that he could sit down to support himself, they put a rock in place for him to sit down upon. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady aloft until sunset. And as a result, Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Why did Israel win the battle? Why was Israel victorious on the day of the battle against a foe that had never lost in its whole history? Two reasons. Both the courage of holy Joshua, who led them out into battle, and the prayers of St. Moses, both of them were necessary. Both of those things were necessary. But in the end, what was the determining factor? It wasn't the courage of the men in battle, though that was necessary. It was prayer. Prayer was the reason. Because without prayer, when Moses wasn't praying, Israel began to lose. But with prayer, with Moses' prayer, Israel was victorious, cutting them down by the edge of the sword, as it says. Did you notice this about the scriptures? Did you notice that in the scriptures there, that Moses was exhausted? He was tired. He was weary. But his weariness, his tiredness, the sweat that was coming down, it didn't lessen the power of his prayers. It only mattered that Moses kept his arms aloft. That was the only thing that mattered. It only mattered that he kept his heart, that he kept his mind focused just upon God, that even if he couldn't think of any words to say, that even if he felt distracted, that as long as his intention of his heart was directed just toward God, they won. That was it. The reality is this, it was God who won the battle. It was God who gave them victory over the enemy. It wasn't Joshua's courage, though God used it. It wasn't even Moses' prayer, though that was the instrument that God used. The victory belonged just to the Lord. See, the Lord granted the Israelites victory because of the faithful prayer of Moses. We read in 1 Samuel, that's a book of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. What does it say there? It says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Battle belongs to the Lord. And Exodus 14, 14, I want you to impress that upon your minds. It's real easy. Exodus 14, 14. You see, this is a scripture passage that a young lady who was your age, by the way, in confirmation. That's when I met her. When I went to Rome to go study out there, she sent me a beautifully illumined drawing with this phrase upon it, this scripture passage, Exodus 14, 14, that I mounted upon my door so that every time I walked into my seminary room door and every time I went out, I would confront this scripture passage that she wrote out for me. Exodus 14, 14. What does it say there? It says, the Lord will fight for you. It says, the Lord will fight for you. All you need to do is remain still. The Lord will fight for you, brothers and sisters. All you have to do is remain still. Let God fight for you. You know, on June 29th, 1971, Pope St. Paul VI wrote this. Pay attention to what he says. He said, do not forget the witness of history. Faithfulness in prayer or its abandonment have been the test of the vitality or the decadence of religious life. What St. Paul VI is doing right there is he's getting to the heart of the matter of what Jesus is speaking about in the gospel for us today. St. Paul is saying this. St. Paul is saying faithfulness in prayer is the only way for the love of Christ to dwell within our souls. That faithfulness in prayer is the only way to allow Jesus to actually be our Lord and our Master in our lives. That it is faithfulness in prayer. That's the only way for us to gain victory in the spiritual battles that we are engaged in every day of our lives, whether we want to be in or not. It's the only way for us to receive God's divine power, his divine aid, in the midst of all our needs that we face day by day. So the gospel that Jesus gives us today is what? The gospel, he gives us an unusual parable to teach us about the necessity of prayer, to pray always, and to not grow tired or weary. So Jesus just gives a simple parable, real short, right? He indicates two characters for us, right? And they're engaged in a battle of wills. Who has the stronger will? Who's the first character he brings up? It's that unjust judge. That unjust judge, who is he? The unjust judge, he's a man who's corrupt to his very core. He's blind to justice, and he has no concern for any man nor for God, even though he knows he's going to be judged by him someday. He doesn't care. Who's the other one? On the other hand, we have that poor widow. That poor widow, what's going on in her life? She's alone. She's alone. She doesn't have any help of anyone in the world. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have any legal standing. She has no recourse except to one person. And this one person doesn't want to help her. This one person is the only person who can help her and wants nothing to do with her, turning a blind ear to her, or a deaf ear, a blind eye to her. That's the dishonest judge. And Jesus tells us that although everything looks hopeless from the surface, that the widow refused to cave into that despair, to give up. She decided she would do the one thing, the only one thing that she had at her disposal, the only one thing that she could do. What was that? She could nag. She could nag. She could nag that judge over and over again. She would not shut up. She refused to stop. She kept pleading for justice for that unjust judge time and time again, day and night. Day and night she came back, and she knew that this man didn't care at all to give her any justice. She knew that his heart was hardened to please of everybody. But she also knew about the one thing that the unjust judge cared about. What was that? His own personal comfort. He wanted to be left alone by everybody. She knew that he wanted to be left alone, that she refused to let up and to let him sit back in his comfort. She plagued him day in and day out and was determined to pester him until she finally got what she deserved. And that perseverance in her petition is what brought that dishonest judge finally to his knees to break his will. Because he knew that that widow would keep on nagging him time and time again, day after day, would never quit pestering him until she finally got what was due to her. Jesus says at the end of the parable something. He says, pay attention to the words of the dishonest judge. And he follows that up with this phrase that we need to take to heart. He says, will not God... By the way, who is God? Is God an unjust judge? Is he a jerk? No. God is who? God is good. God is just. God is a father, a loving father. So he says this. He says, will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones? Will God not secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him dia y noche, day and night, day after day after day? Jesus tells this parable. Why? Why does he give us this parable? He gives us this parable because he wants us to think about our own experience in prayer. What is your experience in prayer? What's it like when you go to God in prayer? What is it like within your soul? Doesn't it seem sometimes that we feel just like this widow in the gospel? Doesn't it seem like that sometimes? Doesn't it seem like God is just refusing to listen to us sometimes? Don't sometimes we wonder with our prayers, why would I think that God would listen to me? Why would he listen to me? I'm nobody important. I'm just a little one. God has the whole world to care for. In fact, he has to care for the whole universe. And I'm just a flea on top of a flea. I'm nothing in the sight of God in the grand scheme of things. Why would I think that he cares about me? It feels like that sometimes. That's false. That's a lie. That doesn't come from God. That comes from Satan that wants to distract us, that wants to keep us from receiving the things that God wants to give us. He's a good and loving father. Who are you? Who are you? You are God's beloved daughter. You're God's beloved son. You're the one upon whom God's divine favor rests. Yes, he's the creator of the universe, but he's the creator of you and intimately wants to be involved in your life. Sister wants us to go watch that movie, Overcomer, this week and dwell upon that same thing. Do it. Spend some time with it. That's who you are. It's true that just like a widow, God can't force. We can't force the Lord to help us. But what can we do? We can turn to him day and night in prayer. Even when our mind seems like it's going every single direction in the world except for where we want it to go. Even when it seems like God isn't listening to us. Even when it seems like our efforts are worthless. Even when it's mostly a bunch of distraction and tears. But when we persevere within our prayer, brothers and sisters, God always answers us. It may not be the answer that you and I are thinking of. It may not be the answer that you and I are desiring from our heart, because God isn't a puppet. We can't play him and pull his strings like that. He's a father. We can't do that with a loving father. We can't manipulate him. But what can we do? We can trust him. We can abandon ourselves to his mighty yet gentle hands. We can surrender to him in a total confidence because he loves us. See, that's prayer. That's what prayer is. Prayer is love. Prayer is love that wells up within our hearts, a love that never grows tired or gives up until it finally grasps its object. That's what prayer is. Think about it for a moment. You got people you love in your life. Think about the people that you love in your life. When you really, really love somebody, you want to be in their presence always. And no matter how much time you spend within their presence, no matter how tiring or stressful or difficult it is, it doesn't tire you out. In fact, it gives you more and more strength to keep going on forward. You just want to be in their presence because it gives you a deeper sense of life. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we can continue on in prayer, persevere and not grow weary. Perseverance in prayer springs out of our love of God. Love is God's gift to us. He places it within our souls. In fact, if you read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, what does that have right there? The fruits of the Spirit that are going to be on your exam, by the way. The fruits of the Spirit. And what's the first fruit of the Spirit that God places in our lives? Love. Love of God. And everything else flows from that. Read more about it in that scripture passage. God places his love within our hearts. You see, our confidence in prayer is built upon that solid conviction that our Heavenly Father loves us. That he loves us and that he knows far better for us what we need than we know ourselves. He knows what's best for us. He knows when it's best for us to get us. He knows how it should be given to us. In fact, he knows even when there's something better out there that we need to receive that we don't even know to ask for. But it's far better than you and I could ever imagine. He's got that in store for us. And that's why the last line of the gospel that Jesus gives us here is so pivotal. It's so important for us to dwell upon, because it's the only time, did you know this? It's the only time in the whole of every reading we do on a Sunday, the only time where it ends with a question mark. What's the question that Jesus asks? He says this. Jesus says, but when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find anybody who's faithful? That's what he's asking. He will. But brothers and sisters, only those with faith continue to pray. Only those who trust in God's love for them continue to pray. God loves you. Continue to pray. You know, 1,600 years ago, that's before, for those of you who are young, it's a long time before Father was born. 1,600 years ago, there was a man by the name of St. Agris of Pontus. St. Agris of Pontus says this about prayer. Listen. He says, do not be troubled if you do not immediately see from God what you ask for him in prayer. for he desires you to do something even greater in that case while you cling to him in prayer. Prayer is that by which we cling to God. Cling to God in prayer. And so I want to share with you and close with this. Maybe you want to close your eyes and listen to this. Give you a long quote, a long dialogue of a woman by the name of St. Julian of Norwich, an awesome English nun. This is written in our own language. Don't need a translator for this. This is what her relationship between her and God was. That was a dialogue, a conversation. And this is what she heard from God in her revelations of God's own divine love in her life. In fact, this was the object of my first retreat when I was in Rome. This is what she says. Listen. After this, our Lord gave me a revelation concerning prayer, in which revelation I saw two attributes in what our Lord was speaking. One is right prayer, and the other is confident trust. But yet our trust is often not complete, for it seems to us that because of our unworthiness and our smallness, because we feel nothing at all in prayer, we're not sure that God hears us. For often we are as barren and dry after our prayers as we were before we even began them. And we feel like this, our folly, is the cause of our own weakness. For I felt this way myself, and our Lord brought all this suddenly to mind and revealed to me these words. He said this to me. He said, I am the foundation of your prayers. First, it is my will that you should have something in prayer. And then I make you desire it. And then I make you pray for it. And if you pray for it, how then could it be that you should not have what it is that you pray for? Did I not give you the desire in the first place? She continues saying, our Lord is very glad and happy because of our prayers, and he expects them. He wants to have them. For through his grace, he makes us like himself in the condition as we are in nature. And this is his very blessed will, for he says, Jesus says, pray with all your heart, even if it seems to give you no pleasure, because it is indeed helpful, even though you may not feel it. Pray with all your heart, even though you may feel nothing, though you may see nothing. Yes, even though you may think that you cannot even pray, for in dryness and in barrenness, in sickness and in weakness, it is then that your prayers are most pleasing to me, even though it may seem to you that they give you almost no pleasure at all. And so it is in my sight with all of your faithful prayers. She continues, on account of the reward and of the eternal thanks that he wishes to give us, God therefore is eager for us to pray constantly, continually in his sight. Indeed, God accepts the good will and the good efforts of his servants, however we may be feeling in the moment. For this reason, he is pleased when we work at our prayers and at living a good life. And with God's help and God's grace, persevering, preserving our strength for him with reason and discretion until we finally possess him whom we seek in the fullness of joy, that is, Jesus. Jesus revealed this in the 15th revelation that he gave me above all these words. Jesus said, you will have me as your reward. Brothers and sisters, we learn that from the poor widow. We got to cling to God. We got to trust him even when it seems like it's hopeless. We learn that we should not feel like we're bothering God in prayer, but he desires us to. He desires us to pester him day in and day out. From that widow, we learn that what persistence in prayers obtains all things. That's a faith fired by the love of God, which he places in your heart and in mine. God will defend your rights and give you the things that you most necessarily need in prayer because you're his children when you call on him with your hearts. Our Lord Jesus asked the question, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will you and I be faithful? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.